We forgot about the art of disagreeing well. We're not surrounded with opinions anymore that are different than ours. And then we feel all these emotions come up.
Welcome to Christina Wanders, a podcast where I ask, why is the world the way it is? Why is it so hard to change anything? And what can we all do to make our world a better place? Today's episode features a climate action expert, Sevim Aktaş. Sevim is the founder of the EU Green Deal Brief on Instagram. And in this episode, she explains how she had to venture out of her own bubble and learn to be less judgmental in order to gain new perspectives. She recounts an anecdote of how she not only survived, but ended up enjoying a dinner with not-so-climate-conscious finance bros. And she explains why, sometimes, you should not call a spade if you want to convince the unconvinced. I specifically asked Sevim about the carbon economy. And to understand the carbon economy, we have to first, well, understand the economy. We must acknowledge that it's run by human beings who operate based on incentive structures and belief systems. Let's dive in.
Hi everyone. Can I get please like a big hi from you when I say hello everyone?
Hi!
Nice to hear you and nice to see you. I'm happy to be here. So my name is Sevim Aktaş. I'm an engineer in the policy sector. I work for the European Commission. My second identity is also a EU Green Deal brief, namely on Instagram. I share energy and climate briefings on my Instagram. And today I was asked by Christina to talk about the carbon economy. Carbon economy is like a very big topic, but what we're ultimately talking about is avoiding, reducing, reusing, recycling, and removing carbon, greenhouse gas emissions in general. What I would rather like to talk about is in how far this plays a role in the big picture. So we're gonna quickly zoom out and then zoom in the second part. Let's think of the sectors, fashion, food, consumer products, climate tech solutions, you know, like solar panels, wind turbines, consumer products like our phones. We're talking about asking these industries to reduce, reuse, and recycle. But why should they do that? I mean, if I'm a company, one of these sectors, let's say in the fashion industry, I'm doing fine right now without doing all these reusing and reducing stuff. I'm getting a bunch of profits and then I'm being asked like to reduce and reuse and recycle my stuff. Why? Doing extra investments into something that's affecting my profit. So my question here is, can we rely on the goodwill of companies to act? Or are we talking about the incentives of our current economy, which are based on incentivizing and rewarding exploitation of human resources and natural resources? This is not what I'm saying as a green person. This is what a Nobel Prize economist, Robert Shiller, is saying in one of his really, really well-written books, Fishing for Fools with PH. It's a great book because what he is saying is like, hey, I am the biggest free market promoter ever, but that doesn't mean that we cannot pinpoint the loopholes in the current economic system. So that's exactly what he's talking about, and that's exactly what I mean with talking about the incentives of our current economic system, capitalism as it is. One thing that I realized working in this is in how much of a bubble I am with working on climate change. So a month ago I was in London and I was visiting a friend of mine. We studied together. He is a solar consultant. And by chance, we ended up on a dinner where we were with a bunch of people working in finance. So I heard it's a special species called finance bros. Yeah, and they are a very specific species. So I found myself at like a big dinner table working on Goldman Sachs and all these big companies that I have no idea about, but you know, they sound really cool and fancy. Cheering to money and cheering to getting rich. And I was sitting there and I was like, what the heck is going on? And fun fact, I was saying like, oh my God, guys, you're so different. I was a little bit tipsy at this point. So I was like, guys, you're so different. And one of them picked it up and he's like, excuse me, are we different or are you different? And I was like, well, very fair point. And that sparked a totally different discussion, a discussion that I'm usually not part of. It's a bubble or it's a new world perspective that I'm usually not part of at all, that I'm not even aware that it's existing. So the finance bubble, let's say like the conventional finance Wall Street bubble. And they really don't care about like climate change. Or maybe like it was like a 5% that I met. I have no idea. As I said, I'm not familiar with this crowd. But it was such a surprise to me. And I felt so challenged explaining the things that are very normal to all of us, like exploitation, when we talk about exploitation, like, you know. And their argument was, well, Sevim, but you know, the system is as it is. is. We cannot change it as an individual. We're just making use of the system. Fair enough. And then I remembered Robert Shiller again, who was saying, like, we need to change the incentives because the current economic system incentivizes exploitation of human and natural resources. And that's where it made click to me. But one thing that I realized in particular in this chat that I had with them was, one, in how much of a bubble I am. Second, I was literally thinking of leaving. I was like, saying, what the heck? But third, I realized that instead of making statements, I was asking a lot of questions. What do you think about this? Okay, you want to make money, and have you considered this and this? And instead of being like a one-sided discussion where I'm, let me say, judging these people, because I really was, I tried to have like an open conversation. And that's my second point. So one, asking questions, Tino said it earlier as well, like asking questions is really the key instead of making statements. But second, I feel like we in the green climate bubble, we have this morally and intellectually superior attitude or tone that we have while talking to people outside our bubble. Isn't that the most important thing ever, talking to people who are not part of, you know, what is our day-to-day? So the only message that I want to spread out here is be open to different mindsets and be open to different worldviews. They're not bad people because they think that way. I, in the end, in that night in London, had a great time with them. I was telling to myself, I went to the bathroom, I was like, should I leave Sivim? And I was like, nope, I'm going to have a great time, and I'm going to have a great time with them. And that's exactly what happened. And what happened while me like having a really, really nice time with them was that they realized, hey, she's nice. She is having fun as well. She's actually quite fun to hang out with. Maybe she's not that different as we thought. And throughout the night, all of these guys individually came up to me asking like, hey, Sivim, you were talking about this and this. By the way, I wanted to tell you that it made me think about X, Y, Z. And I was like, man, that's so nice, being open to discuss. And I'm quoting Frans Timmermans. He said, we forgot about the art of disagreeing well. We're not surrounded with opinions anymore that are different than ours. And then we feel challenged and we're like, oh my God, like upset. And you know, all these emotions come up. It's the most beautiful thing, I can tell you. So I learned a lot from them, and I think they can learn a lot from us. And they follow me on Instagram, so they're more exposed to EU energy and climate measures, by the way. I saw them last weekend and they were saying like, oh, I learned actually quite a lot. So that's a quite a nice thing. A second story that I want to tell you guys before I zoom in and then go back to the carbon economy, big perspective of it. Talking their language. So this is something that I realized doing my work and also talking about capitalism itself. In my work, I talk about regenerative agriculture. Regenerative agriculture is nothing else than organic farming. Well, if you go to a traditional farmer and you talk about organic farming, they're like, no, I'm not a softie, I'm not gonna do that. But all of a sudden, if you talk about regenerative agriculture, which is essentially the same, but the different wording, they start listening. That's actually what I came across during my work itself. And fun fact, this is exactly what I came across when talking to the global head of ESG investing of BlackRock. So I met her in New York. She was one of the people that I interviewed for my master thesis for my studies. So we met up and we talked about, you know, her work. I was like, hey, tell me more about it. What do you think about the situation at the moment, etc. And then I talked to her about regenerative capitalism, which is exactly the same as degrowth, by the way. But regenerative capitalism, I explained the concept, you know, exactly how you would explain degrowth, but I just called it differently. And she was like, whoa, that sounds so interesting. Can you tell me more about this? If you say degrowth to people in industry, like, they're not going to listen, I can tell you. If they're not in the bubble, they're not going to listen. And finally, and I was really happy to see that, is when the US announced the Inflation Reduction Act. It has nothing to do with inflation reduction, it's all climate measures. But they just put like a different word to it. And you know, when I read that, I was like, wow, this is genius, this is amazing. Because if they would have used any word related to green or climate, I can tell you it wouldn't have passed. It really wouldn't have passed. So this is my third message. Talking their language, asking questions, talking their language. This is a little bit the systematic perspective, right? We're talking about incentives and how to place them as such that they promote net positive impact. And systematic impact you can do with policy, regulations. Moving away from this big picture part, let's zoom in. And that is what this all means for us. As I said, carbon economy is such a big concept. It's too big to put it together in like a talk like this. But zooming in, what does it mean for us? Asking questions and seeking different perspectives. What I'm trying to say is we shouldn't underestimate the butterfly effect. We shouldn't underestimate the impact that we can all have at our workplaces. Because after all, we're all working in sustainability, technology, etc. And one person just speaking up to doing something slightly differently can make a big difference. Rounding off, I want to highlight the International System Change Compass. So this is an amazing report by the European Policy Institute. If you're slightly interested in incentives, systematic change, etc., I repeat, International System Change Compass. It's an amazing resource to look into, talking about incentives, metrics, and how to do that. All right, final disclaimer, this is my opinion. So it's so difficult to say something about a topic that's so broad, but I basically shared like very deep thoughts in me and some stuff that has been accompanying me throughout the last few months. But I hoped I could leave you with some more confusion on this topic, which was the case before anyway, I assume. But it was amazing talking to you, and I can, you know, like having some eye contact with all. And happy to chat afterwards. And with that, I give back to Christina. Thanks.
This was Christina Wonders, a podcast where I ask, why is the world the way it is? Why is it so hard to change anything? And what can we all do to make our world a better place? If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes.